this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You can have a seat, and I'll ask you to please join me as we pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have right now to be here, to be able to meditate and reflect and listen to what it is that you have to say to us this morning. So I ask that you would please be with me as I preach, and that you would be with us as we hear from your word this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, thank you again for the invitation to be back here with you. I think it was about a year ago that I was here, and it's great to be able to be here and to give your pastor a little break and preach for you all. One quick note, I changed the sermon title, so the new, if this matters to you, maybe it doesn't matter to you, maybe you didn't even know there was a sermon title, but the new sermon title is Blessed to be a Blessing, and I think you'll see why I changed it as we move along. So as we jump into this passage, I know you guys have been in a series in the book of Psalms, so I'm going to not go into any of the introduction about why the book of Psalms and how Psalms are structured. I'm going to assume that your pastor has been speaking to you about all of that. I want to jump into the psalm and see something that is true, probably something that is you've heard before, is that we are created to worship. When we read a great book, when we have a fantastic meal, when our favorite sports team has a great win, we automatically talk to other people about it. That's just how we are hardwired. That's what we do. And Scripture teaches us that the primary object of our worship and our praise is supposed to be God, right? First Corinthians 10 tells us that everything that we do is supposed to be for the glory of God. But you and I both know that that's just not how life works, right? It doesn't work in our own lives that way. It doesn't work in the world that way. Things have gone awry. And what the scripture is teaching us is God's master plan for how he's fixing all of this, how he's making all of this right. In Psalm 67, no surprise if you've studied the Bible, Psalm 67 falls right in line with that. Psalm 67 is talking to us about God's commitment to bless his people so that his people can be a blessing to others. And that is why this psalm, even though it may not be a psalm that ranks on your top 10 list of favorite psalms, is a psalm that has been widely used when we talk about missions, especially world missions. What we're going to see in the psalm is that God's promise of blessing, this is the central thing I want us to see, is that God's promise of blessing to all people results in praise and joy, and that the blessing that we get from that is to be used so that we will bless other people, that we are blessed to be a blessing, that blessing is not an end in itself, but it's something that we channel, that God calls us, he uses us to bless other people. Now, to get there, we are going to have 3 points to the sermon, divide up the psalm into 3 central ideas. The first idea, we're going to see the promise of God's blessing to the nations. And that's going to help us see the purpose for our mission, our purpose for how it is that we go about living our life. The second point is the praise for God's blessing. And there we will see that that's the fuel. That's what drives us and compels us to join God in the mission that he has in the world. And then finally, we're going to see the response to God's blessing, and that's going to help us to consider the venues in which we serve God in missions, whether it be mission overseas or missions tomorrow morning. So that's going to be our 3 points: the promise of God's blessing, the praise for God's blessing, and the response to God's blessing. And we'll see the purpose, the fuel, and the venue of missions. All right, so let's jump in here. Psalm 67 begins, May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. And goes on to say that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Now, does that sound familiar to anybody, those words? Where do those words come from? Psalm 67 isn't the first place we come across this idea. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face to shine on you. Where does that come from? It's all right. You can talk back to me. I like interaction. I don't bite. I promise. Right. There's this blessing in the book of Exodus Leviticus, right? Where the priests, when they're blessing the people, say these words. And this is, I said Leviticus. It's actually Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is known as the high priestly blessing. It's also known as the Aaronic blessing because Aaron was the first high priest and he's the first person to say these words. This is often used as a benediction at the end of a worship service. And really, the original use of these verses was that as Israel entered the tabernacle and then eventually the temple, as they entered and they left, the priest would say this blessing over them. A continual reminder that God is the one who is at work in all of this. Have you ever listened to a song, and as you're listening to a song, you go like, wait a minute, that little riff of the music, or that little turn of the phrase, that's from this other song, right? I love it when I hear one song and I'm like, wait a minute, that's from this other song. And it makes me say, okay, what's the connection? Why is this artist taking from this other piece of music and bringing it here? And that's what I want us to consider as we think about this first point. Why, as the author of Psalm 67, why is it that they all of a sudden go, hey, I want to start off by quoting the Aaronic blessing. I want to start off by reminding us that God is the one who blesses, that he's the one who initiates, that he has this plan that from the beginning of time he's been working, and he will promise to continue to work until the end of time. If you are a reader, over time you find these like series of novels that you just get into, and every time the new novel comes out, you jump in. So I want you to think of your favorite series of novels, right? Three novels, seven novels, 11 novels. Doesn't matter how long the series is, and you're having this conversation with your friend. And they're like, oh, I need to find something new to read. You're like, oh, you need to read such and such series. Insert your favorite series into that, right? And so your friend goes off and finds a book in the series, and they come back to you a month later. I'm like, oh, this book is so great. Thank you so much for recommending it to me. It's like, oh, and you start talking about the book. You're like, wait a minute, which book did you read? And you find out that they read the second to last book in the series. Right? That's awful, right? Because all of a sudden now they don't understand all that's going on. They don't understand all the implications and the weaving of the plot that happens in a really great series like that. There's a small parallel here for us. When we read scripture, we have to remember that there's stuff that came before. And the stuff that comes before helps us to understand the stuff we're reading now, the passage we're reading now, and it's going to help us as we're reading the passages we read later. Now, I don't want to press that too hard, right? Because we know that you can read any part of Scripture, and it's useful and beneficial and profitable. But the point that I'm making and what I want us to consider is we're just going to take a very cursory survey of a couple of passages of Scripture. We're going to start with Genesis 12. Because in Genesis 12, what do we have? We have this man named Abraham, who's called by God, and God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be super happy. End of story. No, what was the promise given to Abraham? I'm going to bless you so that what? So that through you, all of the nations of the world will be blessed. Abram, you're going to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. God makes this promise to him, right? And then you move along in the story of the Bible, right? Then we get to the Exodus and the generation that's living in the wilderness. And God says to them this really strange thing. You're going to be, for me, a kingdom of priests. Well, what is that about, right? What is it, this Exodus? I believe this is in Exodus 9. Why are you going to be a kingdom of priests for me? Well, Exodus 19. The idea here is that the priests are the ones who represent God to the people, and that the people of Israel had this responsibility to take the blessing that they will receive and use that blessing to be a light to the nations. And then let's just skip on ahead, and we've got past the monarchy, the beginning of the monarchy. Solomon has built the temple, and in 1 Kings 8, as he's praying this prayer of dedication for the temple, he says this really strange thing, because this temple is built for Yahweh. This temple is built for Israel. This is the center of their worship, the center of their practice and their beliefs. And Solomon says, hey, one day the nations are going to hear about you, and they're going to come. And when they come because of what they've heard, would you bless them? All of a sudden, like, what? But this is Israel's temple. And yet Solomon knows that Israel's God is a God of all of creation and of all people. And he's assuming that people are going to come and worship and be blessed because of Yahweh. Now, we'll skip over Psalm 67 for a moment, right? We're going to skip way ahead to the New Testament just so we can make a connection for us, right? And that's what the Great Commission is. In Matthew 28, where Jesus says, hey, I am sending you out to the ends of the earth so that you can let other people know about what I've done. And that really is, it's in the same point, the same same theme that finds itself throughout the Bible, that we are blessed to be a blessing, which is why the psalm says, may God be gracious to you. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Verse 2, so that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. We are blessed to be a blessing, right? So this first couple of verses of the psalm, what they're really doing is they're giving us the purpose that God has a promise, that he's reiterated this promise all over Scripture, and that central to the promise is that as he is seeking to bless the world through his presence, that he does that through people, his people, you and me. And so the blessing that we received is not an end in itself. The blessing that we receive from God, the blessings, I should say, that we receive from God are meant to be used to bless other people. And I think about the implication and the application of this for the way that we pray. If you're anything like me, you will, at certain times, you know, there's something you're asking the Lord for, right? Maybe it's a transition with your job. Maybe it's a health problem that you or someone that you care about is facing. Maybe it's a particular issue that the church is facing. And what we often will do is we'll pray, right, earnestly, and what we're focusing our attention is getting the thing that we want from God. And what this psalm has challenged me is that I oftentimes, that's where my thought process ends. And I think we should challenge ourselves to say, and then how, if Lord, if you answer this, then this is how I think I'm going to be able to use this blessing that you've given to me in order to bless other people. Right? That all of a sudden, we even in the way that we're praying, we're beginning to think about how could God use this in such a way that I could, in fact, bless others the way that he has blessed me. All right, so that's the first point. So now we're moving to the second point. And here we're seeing the praise for God's blessing. We see this in verses 3, 4, and 5. And this really provides us the fuel for mission, the fuel for why it is that we do. And it's the praise of God. It's worshiping God. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. There's this repetition, right? So there's the sandwich in the middle of the psalm. praising God, worshiping God, giving him honor. Now, what's really fascinating about this is that if you're paying attention to the way the psalm has been written, it begins with God. It begins with Yahweh. It begins with the Lord. He is the one who moves first. This is the gospel, right? The Lord moves first, and we respond to what he is doing. This is why we read in Ephesians 2, for example, that we've been saved by grace through faith, not something that we have done, but it is a gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast about it. So we don't begin with worship and then say, all right, God, now give me my blessing, but rather because God has blessed us, we respond with worship and praise. And this is why Jesus has come, right? Because we know, I alluded to this earlier, but we know when we look around that this is not what we see in our world. This is not what we experience or even in our own hearts. We know that our hearts are divided, right? We know that even if we've been Christians for a really long time, we know that oftentimes worship of God is not the first thing. It's not our first reaction. And Jesus come in order to forgive us for that, in order to give us new hearts, that as we continue to study his word and follow him, we are becoming more and more and more like him, so that we do respond with praise. We do respond with joy. It's interesting. I think in the same way that maybe the first point challenges us to think about the blessings that we receive and how those blessings could be used in order to bless other people, the second point asks us a slightly different question. And the slightly different question that the second point asks us is what do we actually think about the blessing versus the blesser? So often, if we're not careful, what we'll do is we will begin to think that what I'm going to get from Jesus is all of this blessing. And what we fail to remember is that Jesus is himself the blessing. Like, that's the great gift. That's the great thing that we need. We don't need the stuff. We need the person. We need Jesus. We need God. And this is what the psalmist is praising. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Not the stuff you gave me. Not the blessings. Not the job. Not the family. Those things are good. I'm not knocking those things. But that the greater blessing is him, that he's the one that we are to praise and give glory to. And that this then is the reason that we talk to other people, the reason that we have a fuel and a purpose is because we know what we've received from him. And notice that it's not this just empty notion of God, right? The psalmist actually gives us something about God's character and God's activity. Notice what he writes. You judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. God is just and God rules. What you see here is this idea of God's governing of the world, of all of his people, of what is in the world in a holy, wise, and powerful way. The theological term, right, if we want to kind of give a theological term to this, is providence. The providence of God is the way that he governs all things and all people in a way that is holy, wise, and powerful, that ultimately brings him glory. And this is what fuels us, that we know that this is the God that has blessed us and that this is the mission, the promise that he's keeping, that he wants all of the world from one corner to the other corner of the earth. He wants everyone to know and worship him. And he's keeping that promise through you and me. He's keeping that promise as we live out faithfully. So what have we seen? So the first point was gives us the purpose, right? That's the praise of God, or the promise that God keeps his promise of blessing. And we see this little quick survey that we did throughout the Bible. Psalm 67 starts off quoting somewhere else specifically so that we will go, yes, there's a connection we need to make here, right? And then in our second point, we see this praise of God really focused on who God is and what God has done. And now we can get to our last point, which is the venue in which all of this works itself out. Now, We're just going to focus on one. I think it's the one that the psalmist wants us to focus on. There are obviously many venues in which this can work itself out. But what I find really fascinating about this psalm is what it picks. Now, how many of you like to see movies, just out of curiosity? Oh, good, good. All right, good. Lots of movies. I'm gonna go on a little bit of a limb here. How many of you, just out of curiosity, Star Wars fans? Any Star Wars fans? A couple, not many. All right, we'll be all right. Comic book, you know, anybody like this inner child in you that's going back to see any of these comic book movies? Anybody? No? All right, okay. Well, this illustration may not work really well, but I think it will. So we're gonna try it anyway. So there's this really fascinating thing that's happening on YouTube right now. So you know, I'm sure you all know about like Marvel movies and Iron Man and all of that, right? And Star Wars. I'm not using any illustrations about any of that. Don't worry. There's this really fascinating thing that's happening right now on YouTube. When a new trailer comes out for one of these movies, there are dozens of individuals that break down the trailer scene by scene by scene and look for all these little hidden things in them, right? They're called Easter eggs. I don't know why they're called Easter eggs, but that's what they're called. They look for these little Easter eggs, and they will put together videos that are 20, 30 minutes long. For a two-minute trailer, they'll put together a video that's 20, 30 minutes long, try and give you all these little insights into what the trailer is, because they're really excited about the movie, right? It's kind of silly and wacky, but here's the point that I want to make, right? The reason that a film studio makes a trailer is because the trailer is supposed to be a snapshot of what's coming, of the feature film, right? The feature film for us is the kingdom of God. And our lives are trailers. Our lives are supposed to be snapshots that people can see. And it's like, ah, that's what the kingdom of God is like. And in the same way that there are people who create these videos to scrutinize what's happening in the trailer, what I will submit to you is that there are people that will scrutinize our trailer of our life in order to determine whether or not the movie, the kingdom of God, is worth their time. And so what that causes this question is like, all right, what does the trailer of my life look like? We could think of many venues, but I think the psalm is actually asking us to think about our work. Why do I think that? So I'm assuming that Pastor Ian, if he's done his due diligence with the psalms, you know that there are many different types of psalms. So the three main categories of psalms are worship, thanksgiving, and lament. And then there's all these subcategories of psalms, right? So this would be a psalm of worship, but the subcategory would be a harvest psalm, right? So a harvest psalm are psalms that you sang while you did what? You were picking the harvest, right? Right? This is a work song. This is a song you sing while you work. And the reason we believe this is a harvest song is because of verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all of the ends of the earth fear him. So imagine you are in the field and you're harvesting your olives, your grapes, your wheat, right? You're doing your agrarian work in an agrarian society. And you're singing the psalm about God's promise to bless the nations, but this worship that all of the nations will be glad because of the work that his people are doing, and you're specifically thinking about your job. This is fascinating, I think, because what it's reminding us is that one of the venues in which you and I are called to honor God, one of the venues in which you and I are called to praise God and to have this intentional life where we're thinking, like, what is the trailer of my life? Is what we're going to do tomorrow morning. Right? Whether that's in the home or outside of the home, whether that's in the profit world or the nonprofit world, whether it's in law or education or medicine or business or entrepreneurship or government, whatever it might be. that God is actually calling us in our work to be faithful witnesses of who he is and what he's done. Now, there's two ways that you can apply this. One way that this can be applied, and it's applied, and this is a mission psalm, right? So this is not only a harvest psalm, but it is a psalm that's used to speak about missions. And so one way that you could think about this, not the primary I want us to focus on, but one way is you can think of this thing called business's mission. So there's this movement that has really taken up speed, and even our own denomination's mission agency has an individual that puts a lot of effort into this idea of business's mission. And what it is that you can be an engineer, you can be an entrepreneur, you can be in all different fields of work, and you can take that work and use it as a means to go do missions overseas. It's really fascinating. And I'm by no means an authority in that, but I've got some friends that actually help lead that for the PCA. And if you're interested in that, I would love to put you in touch with him. But what's really fascinating, where I really want to focus on, is the fact that tomorrow you and I are going to go to work. We're going to go to our vocation. Into the home, out of the home, profit, nonprofit, again, all those different categories, and then all the ones that I didn't mention, because I'm sure I left somebody out. Retired, right? We have these vocations, these callings that God has called us to, and that in that particular calling, we can be conduits. In that particular calling, we can be blessed so that we can be a blessing. Let me give you an illustration I heard of this, and this illustration will move us towards closing. Nancy Ortberg, author, speaker, Christian author, Christian speaker, tells a story. Well, she was attending seminary. She was working as an ER nurse. And there was this one particular surgeon at the ER that she was working at who she knew was a Christian. And the surgeon was, the way she described it is unlike, you know, the stereotypical image that you have of a surgeon being high and mighty and rather arrogant. This particular surgeon, she said, was humble and had this ability to lift the entire surgical team up with him so that as he was performing surgery in the ER, that he would engage with each person that was around him and thank them for their insights and ask questions about what they should do. That everybody loved when he was the surgeon they were working with, because everybody left feeling blessed and empowered to do their work even more. Well, they were working at a teaching hospital, and so there was this particular day, she was filling out paperwork at the end of the surgery, and she could overhear the conversation between that surgeon and one of the residents. And so the surgeon was asking the resident questions and doing things, and as they're working, Nancy's there, she says, I was filling out my paperwork, and Juan the janitor was in the background doing his work, and then he left. And she says that at that point that Juan, the janitor, left, that the surgeon looked to the resident and asked him a question about the janitor. And the surgeon, the resident just kind of registered this, like, weird expression on his face. Like, why are we talking about the janitor right now? He went on to say, you know, that he is a vital part of the team. Every time that he comes in to clean up after surgery, he always makes sure that every tool is exactly where it needs to be so that the next time that we have to use this room, everything is exactly where it needs to be. You know, the funny thing about Juan, the surgeon goes on to say, the funny thing about it is his wife, and he begins to talk about the janitor's family. And Nancy says, as she's retelling the story, she's like, she's over here, you know, she's already done with her paperwork, but she's pretending to keep writing because she wants to hear what's going on. She says, the surgeon had been to the guy's house. And the resident, complete blank expression, doesn't even understand. So finally the surgeon says, you know what? I noticed on the schedule that you and I are supposed to have surgery together again next week. What I want you to do, this is your assignment for me. I want you next week when we're having surgery to tell me something I don't know about Juan. That surgeon was blessed with having the power in the room, right? He had the authority. He commanded, and he used that to bless everybody around him, even the janitor. And unbeknownst to the resident, what the surgeon was trying to do was trying to be a blessing to him as well, giving him eyes to be able to see things differently. And the reason that he did, Nancy said, she's retelling the story. I heard her share the story at a conference. It was fundamentally a part of who he was as a Christian. I don't know what your vocation is. I don't know where you're going to go tomorrow. I don't know how the Lord calls you to serve him, but I know this, that this psalm is inviting us in the places where we work, in the vocations that we have, in the places that we will enter into in the coming week. This psalm is inviting us to see the blessings that we have received and to be a conduit that the Lord uses in order to bless other people. And that when we do that, the nations will be glad. Right? Because God's people are doing the things that he has called them to do. So the purpose of our mission is that we have a promise-keeping God. He keeps his promises, and Psalm 67 reminds us of that as it's quoting from the Aaronic blessing. The fuel for our mission is the heart of the psalm. It's the center where we see, praise God, let the peoples praise you, O Lord, let all the peoples praise you, and the venue, at least one of the venues in which we are called to do that. And the venue that Psalm 67 is lifting up for us is going to be where we are tomorrow morning and the rest of this week until we gather for worship again in the coming week. We're blessed to be a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please help us this week as we think about this psalm, as we reflect on what this psalm is teaching us, to recognize that because you keep your promises and because you have called us to worship you, and that because of the love that we have for you, that we can go into places where you have called us, the places where we live, the places where we work, the places where we play, that we can go in these places and that we can be conduits of your blessing because you have blessed us. We ask that you would help us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.